Have your Bibles, please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be looking at the first 12 verses of chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12 for our study this morning. As we finish up the Christmas season and as we get ready to celebrate the beginning of a new year, I thought it would be appropriate and beneficial to dedicate one last study to the Christmas story. I can't forget about Christmas yet, you know, being that we just finished it up yesterday. And so I wanted just to share one last message, one last study concerning the Christmas message, the Christmas story. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the wise men from the East. And we're going to see what we can learn from these wise men who were greatly impacted by the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're going to begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to take it verse by verse. Amen. How many of you enjoy verse by verse? That's the best way to study the Bible. I was thinking of bringing out some points, but I said, you know what? Today I'm going to change it up, and we're just going to go verse by verse, and we're going to see what we can learn from this account of the wise man from the East. And so if there would be a title for this morning's study, it would just be titled, The Wise Man, The Wise Man. And so let's begin in Matthew chapter 2, and let's begin by reading verses 1 and 2, and this is what Matthew tells us. He says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." And so there in verse 1 and 2, our story begins with Matthew telling us that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem seeking to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these wise men, or they're often referred to as the Magi, mentioned by Matthew, they're somewhat of a mystery. Only Matthew mentions their visit after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these characters, these figures, they're somewhat of a mystery. We don't really know too much about them. There's a lot of speculation concerning these wise men, and even church and Christmas tradition says there was only three, and they even give names to each of the wise men. But the truth is, we don't really know too much about them. All we really know is that they came from the east, and that's possibly a reference to Babylon, or some believe near Babylon. And all we know is that they were astrologers. They studied the stars. That's really what the term magi is a reference to. It's a reference to a specialist in astronomy. And so all we know is that they came from the east and they were experts in the study of stars. And Matthew tells us that they were given a special revelation by God in the form of a star. And at this revelation, they responded and they went to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that reference to the star and the reference to them being from the east makes many believe that these wise men, somehow or some way, they were probably influenced by the writings of the prophet Daniel and by Balaam's prophecy. You see, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, we learn that Daniel the prophet, at a very young age, he was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. And there in Babylon, he found favor in the sight of the king, and he was actually lifted up to be the overseer of the wise men, of the astrologers there in Babylon. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Daniel, you would know that Daniel wrote extensively concerning Messiah, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many believe that somehow or some way, these magi, these wise men, were familiar with the writings of the prophet Daniel. And they were waiting, they were watching, they were preparing for the coming of Messiah. And others also believe that they were familiar with the prophecy of Balaam. Just to give you a reference, if you can jot this verse down, it's in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. And this is what the prophet Balaam prophesied. Numbers 24, verse 17. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." And so there in Numbers, the prophet Balaam, he began to prophesy concerning the coming of Messiah. And when he prophesied, he referred to Messiah as a star. He said, "A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter, a ruler, shall arise out of Israel." And so these wise men, they probably had access to the writings of Daniel. They were probably familiar with this prophecy concerning Messiah as a star that Balaam prophesied. And so they were watching, they were ready, they were prepared. And when the star appeared, they were ready to go off to seek out Messiah. They studied the scriptures. They were familiar with the coming of this great king, Messiah. And when the star appeared, when God sent them a revelation, they were ready to go. And immediately they responded. They were preparing for the coming of Messiah, and when he came, they were ready to go. What could we learn from that? Let's learn a little nugget briefly before we continue. It's very wise to prepare for the coming of Messiah. Amen? Now, us as believers, we know that the Lord Jesus, Messiah, he already came the first time. So what do we prepare for? The second coming. It's very wise to prepare for the second coming of Messiah. Like the wise man, we have access to scripture. We got access to the revelation of God. And we need to start preparing for the coming of Messiah. Because when he comes, we need to make sure that we're ready to go. Amen. The Messiah came. These wise men, they were ready to go. They were packed. They were ready. Let's go seek out Messiah. Messiah's returning. Are you packed? Are you ready to go? Am I packed? Am I ready to go? You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know, just shows me like, man, you need to have luggage out and you need to put it near your door. And every time you leave the door, you need to remind yourself, man, you need to get ready to go. You need to get ready for when Messiah comes, because he's coming. The Lord Jesus is coming back, and wise men and wise women prepare for his coming. So that when he comes, you're ready to go and you can go with no regrets. No regrets. May God give us the grace to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Matthew tells us that at the appearance of Messiah's star, and look at how in verse 2, the wise man said, "For we have seen his star." We've seen Messiah's star. They didn't say we have seen a star or we have seen the star, but they put two and two together and they said we've seen Messiah's star. They came to Jerusalem seeking to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, the Holy Spirit tells us these words. Wise men are still seeking Jesus today. Wise men, wise women, they're still seeking Jesus today. You know, the wisest decision you can make is seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek to worship, seek to follow, seek to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wisest decision you can make. In the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 34, verse 10, the psalmist said, "Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Those who seek out the Lord, those who seek his presence, will lack nothing. What does that teach us? It teaches us that complete satisfaction is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is seek him out. All we have to do is pursue him like these wise men, and we will lack nothing. And yet, in spite of that promise, sadly, many people today in this world, like Jerusalem, in the time of our story, many people are seeking everything else except the Lord Jesus Christ. They're seeking out everything else but God Almighty. You know, when every time I read this account, this story, and all of us, I think it's safe to say you're familiar with this story. Amen. We've all read it or heard it at one time or another. But I always think this, that when the wise men came to Jerusalem, I'm sure they expected to find all of Jerusalem seeking after Christ. I'm sure they were expecting to go to this city, this religious city where the temple was at, and they probably thought the whole city was going to be seeking after the newborn king. But to their surprise, they didn't find people seeking after Christ. I'm sure they found people seeking after wealth or fame or power or pleasure, religion, education, tradition, and whatnot. But they didn't find anybody seeking after Christ. And I'm sure these wise men were shocked. I'm sure they were thinking to themselves, "We have come all the way from the east seeking after Christ, and you guys are here in Jerusalem. You have the Holy Scriptures. The king that was born is your king. He's the king of the Jews, and your head is in the dark. You're not seeking after him." And I'm sure they were shocked to go into Jerusalem and to think everyone was seeking after Christ, and to find out that everyone was seeking after everything else but Christ. And when I think about that, when I read that, I think to myself, nothing has changed. 2,000 years later, the world is still seeking after the things of this world rather than the Savior of the world. And that's why there's so much disappointment. That's why there's so much emptiness and dissatisfaction, because only Christ can meet the expectations. Only Christ can fill the emptiness of the human heart and soul. And that's why we need to seek him. Everything else will disappoint you. Everything else will leave you empty. Only Christ can satisfy the longings and the emptiness of the human heart. Only Christ. If you seek out anything else, you will be disappointed. You know, I'm going to give you an illustration, an example. It's very basic, but you're going to understand what I mean. There's a lot of people in America who they seek after sports to satisfy them, to fill them, to make them feel good. And so you're just seeking after sports, you're seeking after your team, you're just looking forward to the big game, and for whatever reason, your team loses. They blow it because you all know you can't always win in sports. And so there, instead of finding fulfillment, instead of meeting your expectation, you're disappointed, you're down, you're depressed, and you live your life like a roller coaster. You're up when your team wins, you're down, like many were yesterday when your team loses. Lakers lost yesterday. So there's your life, a roller coaster. And it could be with sports, it could be with relationships, it could be with money, it could be with ministry or with a church. You're up and you're down. You're up and you're down. And the problem is you're seeking after those things which are unstable. You're seeking after those things that cannot satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy. Only Christ is unchanging and stable and a sure foundation. And as you seek after him, you're never disappointed, or you will never lack anything. And that's why we learn from these men that true wise men, true wise women, they seek after Christ. And today, wise men are still seeking him. It's like what the Lord said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's like the Lord saying, man, just seek me, and I'll take care of everything else. Oh, what a blessing, huh? God's made it so simple. Seek after me. Seek out my presence. Seek out my person. And I'll take care of everything else. I will hook you up. But all you have to do is make me your focus. And what do we do a lot of times? We ignore that. And we think that we can find what we're looking for in everything else, and we put Christ to the side. But this morning, the Holy Spirit tells us, wise men, wise women, they seek after Christ. And my desire is that the Holy Spirit would stir within each of our hearts a deep longing and a great hunger to seek after Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We need more of him. We need more of him. And we need to follow the example of these wise men. And we need to seek after him. And the beautiful part about it is we don't have to travel thousands of miles or hundreds of miles across a desert to find him. But we can seek him in spirit, in truth, wherever we may be. Isn't that a blessing? You don't have to get on a camel to seek after Jesus. But the word says that all you have to do is seek him with all your heart, and you're going to find him. You can seek him at work. You can seek him here at church, at home, when you're driving, at school. You have access to the presence as long as you go through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you, seek him out. And so Matthew tells us that after the birth of Christ, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem seeking to worship the newborn king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue and let's read verse 3. In verse 3 we read, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Man, you would think he would be excited or happy, but he was troubled. And look what we read. And all Jerusalem with him. Now that right there teaches us, shows us that there was more than three wise men that sought out the Lord. It was probably a big caravan. There was probably a big group with him going to Jerusalem, because an entire city is not going to get troubled by three people. Amen? You're probably not even going to notice three people. Jerusalem's a big city. I've been there. And three people, you'll get lost in the crowd. But there was probably this big caravan, this big group traveling, seeking out the newborn king. And when King Herod saw them, heard them, talked to them, he was troubled. Him with all of Jerusalem. Now I want to talk briefly about King Herod. King Herod, the Herod mentioned here, we refer to him as Herod the Great. Herod the Great. In the Bible, they mention a lot of Herods. And really, this is the Herod that started everything. He's like the grandpa, the father, who started the Herodian line. Now, this Herod, he was appointed king of the Jews by the Romans in 37 BC, and he reigned all the way until 4 BC. That's when he died. Let me share with you an interesting fact that maybe some of you didn't know. Jesus was born somewhere or sometime before 4 BC. A lot of times we think in our mind Jesus was born in 0 AD or 1 AD, and then this new time started. But Jesus was probably born around 5 or 4 BC. How do we know that? Because King Herod, according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that Herod died in 4 BC. And so Herod had to be alive when Jesus was born. But he was the king of the Jews, or the king over Israel, but he was appointed by the Romans. He wasn't the rightful king. He wasn't the rightful heir to the throne of David, but he was like a puppet. He found favor with the Romans, actually with Mark Antony, one of the Roman rulers. And because he found favor, Mark Antony, he appointed Herod king over Palestine, the land of Israel. But he wasn't the rightful king. He didn't have Davidic blood in his veins. But in all actuality, he was an Edomite. He was a descendant of Esau. And so he wasn't a true full-blood Jew, and he wasn't from the line of David. And so he was not the rightful king. And so when the wise men came to him and they brought him news that the king of the Jews had been born, right away Herod was troubled. Right away he was paranoid. You see, Herod understood that if what the wise men said was true, and if the rightful king of the Jews had been born, Herod understood that his throne would be in danger, that his throne would be in jeopardy. And so this news troubled him, and it troubled all of Jerusalem. Herod couldn't imagine losing his throne, losing his kingdom, losing all his power and authority. And so the good news of Jesus' birth, it became bad news to him. And Herod, he was greatly troubled. Now, like Herod and like Jerusalem, today Many people are troubled by Jesus Christ and his gospel. Many people are troubled when they hear the good news. And it's sad, but oftentimes what happens, the good news turns into bad news for them. The good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, it turns into bad news to a lot of people. Because when they hear it, they get all troubled and they get all afraid because, like Herod, they can't imagine losing their throne. They can't imagine losing their kingdom. They can't imagine losing their authority, losing their dominion over themselves. And people get troubled at the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hear the gospel and they can't imagine denying themselves. They can't imagine taking up their cross daily. The cross troubles many people. They can't imagine following Jesus. Listen to this. They hear the good news and people are terrified because they can't imagine repenting from their sins. They can't imagine confessing their sin. They can't imagine receiving salvation by grace. They want to work for it. They want to earn it. They want to deserve it. And it troubles them. The gospel. This good news, the best news you'll ever hear, to many people, it turns into bad news. And they're troubled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to know what happens oftentimes? Satan deceives them. Because Satan makes them think that when they come to Christ, they lose something. That's what Satan makes people think. And that's why they're so troubled by the gospel. That's why when you try to share to a friend, a coworker, a family member, that's why they ignore you. That's why they turn a deaf ear towards you. That's why they walk in the other direction. That's why they want nothing to do with you in Jesus. Because they're troubled. Because they're deceived in thinking that if they come to Christ, that they're going to lose something. That they're going to miss out on something. They think to themselves, I'm not going to have any more fun. I'm not going to enjoy myself. Life is not going to be exciting. And they're troubled by the gospel. And they're deceived in thinking that they're going to lose something. But let me just share this with you. I know you know it, but let me just remind you of it. When you come to Christ, you lose nothing and you gain everything. Amen? When you come to Christ, when you're serving Jesus, you lose nothing and you gain everything. You gain eternity. You gain infinity. But you lose nothing. You see, sin and Satan, they will take everything from you. But Jesus doesn't take. Jesus just gives. Amen? Jesus just brings life. But sin and Satan, they bring death. There's a crash at the end of the road. But in Christ, all that's waiting for us at the end of the road is a crown, not a crash. And so if people are going to be troubled by something, they should be troubled by sin. Amen? If you're going to be troubled by something, you should be troubled by sin. Sin will kill you. Straight up. You know, there's a song that I like. And the brother says that sin, she's a killer. She's a killer. Sin don't show mercy. Sin don't show grace. Sin doesn't have compassion or love. it'll kill you. And so we shouldn't be troubled about Christ, but if you're going to be troubled about something, be troubled about sin. Be offended by sin. Be offended by the wages of sin, by the consequences of sin, because the gospel, it's not troubling. It's good news. Amen? Jesus, he doesn't make life boring or dull, but he makes life exciting. He makes life enjoyable. He makes life meaningful. And you're not truly living until you're living for the Son. You know, the Lord Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and life in abundance. And there's nothing to be troubled about, but what we need to do is we need to learn to enjoy Christ and not be troubled by Christ. Amen. And I would encourage you, fam, as a believer, as a Christian, learn to enjoy Christ. If you're feeling a little bored, if you're not that excited or passionate, nothing is wrong with Jesus or the gospel. Everything is wrong with you. And I say that lovingly. Amen. If you don't come to church with a little bit of excitement, with a little bit of spark, with a little bit of eagerness or expectation, if you're not stirred, if you're not moved by Christ or by the word or by worship or by prayer, something's wrong with you. But not the message, not the faith, not the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is you just need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to enjoy Christ. Help me to be excited and passionate for Jesus. Because Jesus can't be boring. He can't. It's impossible for Jesus to be boring. You know how there's some things that are impossible for God to do? Like it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to condone sin. It's impossible for God to do anything illogical. It's impossible for God to be boring. Because God is perfection. Perfect goodness. Perfect goodness. He's perfection. Goodness to pure actuality. And it's impossible for him to be boring. So if we're serving God, if we're walking with God, and if we're feeling a little bored, it's not him. It's you. It's me. Because it's impossible for him to go against his nature. And we need to enjoy Christ. We need to be excited for Jesus and not troubled. Amen. You know, that's one of the biggest lies, and I hate it because I hear it a lot from young people. I don't want to go to give my life to Christ because it's boring. I say, bro, you are boring. Avatar is boring. Sports are boring. Facebook is boring. But Jesus, he can't be boring. Not the Jesus that I serve. Not the Jesus of the Bible. Amen? And so Herod was troubled. All of Jerusalem was troubled by the words of the wise men. Let's continue. Let's go to verse 4. Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. And let's continue. And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship also. And so Matthew tells us that after the wise man appeared and they sought out the king, that Herod was troubled by their message. And immediately he gathered all the chief priests, all the scribes, all the religious leaders, and he asked them, where was the Christ to be born? Where was Messiah going to be born? And right away, without thinking twice, the scribes, the religious leaders, they said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Judea. Now, in those times, there was two Bethlehems. There was a Bethlehem of Zebulun in the northern area, and there was a Bethlehem of Judea in the southern area of Israel. And so right away, the scribes, they opened up to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and they said, King Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Judea. You know, it's interesting, but the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. It's actually a compound word. Beth is Hebrew for house, and Lehem is Hebrew for bread. And so Bethlehem, the house of bread, was going to be the place where the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to come out from. And so once Herod heard that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, he got together with the wise man and he sent them out to Bethlehem and he told them to bring back word to him once they find him that he might go and worship with them. Now, here in verses 4 and 8, there's a very important message we see. There's a very important principle that we just can't miss. And this is what it is. The religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, they knew where Messiah was going to be born. They knew the scriptures, but they failed to act upon them. They knew the scriptures, they knew the prophecies, they knew the word of God like the back of their hand. They were church people, you might say. They lived in the church, in the synagogue, in the temple, and yet they ignored the scriptures. They ignored the prophecies, and they failed to put it into practice. Instead of them going, instead of them seeking out the Lord Jesus, they sent the wise men. They kind of just ignored it. Wow, Messiah's going to be born in Bethlehem, and yes, a star was mentioned in the scriptures, but you know what? You go check it out. I'm okay with my religion. I'm okay with my traditions. I'm comfortable, but you go check it out. You go see Messiah. And they failed to put the Bible into practice. What does that teach us? Simply this. They knew it in the mind, but they didn't know it in the heart. And when all is said and done, they missed heaven by 18 inches. By 18 inches. Because what they knew in their mind, they didn't apply in their heart. And they missed heaven by 18 inches. You know, I often say this. I often wonder how many people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Because there's many people that they know the gospel. They come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and they know scripture in the mind. They can memorize, they can quote, They know the songs. They know the language. But they haven't applied it in their heart. They haven't taken it serious. It's just a routine. It's just a religion. And when all is said and done, they're going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Can you imagine missing eternity with God by this much? Can you imagine? By that much. You miss heaven by 18 inches. Because you fail to apply what you know in your mind, in your heart. It's all head knowledge versus heart knowledge. You know, here at church, you know, I'm always so concerned. And I'm concerned that people come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, service after service, and they've been coming for years. And my concern is that they're not born again. That's such a concern. It's a great concern that there could be someone who has heard me share or teach maybe 1,000 times in their lifetime. And they're not born again. They're not born again by the Spirit of God. And I see them all the time and I shake their hand and I hug them and they come out to activities and events and services. And it's all head knowledge. And there's no heart knowledge. And my concern is that they're going to go to hell. And they're going to miss it by 18 inches, heaven. And I just pray and ask that the Lord would just make the gospel real. That the Lord would make the scriptures come alive. In every heart, in every life that comes through those doors. That the Lord would bring trees and not rocks. And this morning, you know, examine your life and ask yourself the question, am I a rock or am I a tree? Now, what's the difference? Well, a rock is dead, but a tree is alive. And a tree grows, and a tree produces fruit. And that's what we need to be. We need to be trees. Amen? We need to be a tree planted by the water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. That tree described in Psalms chapter 1. I don't want rocks. Amen? Amen. You know, I praise God for the English service, for the ministry that the Lord has blessed us with. Because I look around and I see trees. I see people growing. I see people maturing. I see people seeking after God. And that's a sign of success. That's a blessing, because I would rather have one tree than 1,000 rocks. Amen. And I would rather be a small tree than to be a big boulder. Amen. Even if I'm a little small tree, that's okay. Even if I'm just producing little strawberries and not watermelons, fruit is good. And we need to take the word serious. We need to take the gospel serious. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to make it real in our hearts and our lives. And I would just encourage you, make it real. Make it real. Stay away from dead religion. Stay away from the routine. The routine kills relationships. The routine is like a chokehold on your relationship with God, on your relationship with Christ. And when you come, change it up. You know, and what does that mean? Don't get comfortable. Challenge yourself. Continue to pursue Christ. Make changes. Get out of the comfort zone. Because the comfort zone will kill you spiritually. Amen? But just say, Holy Spirit, make it real. Holy Spirit, touch my heart. Apply the word to my heart. Bring life, Holy Spirit. Make Jesus real. Make it a life-changing, a life-transforming relationship. That is just not a routine that you just don't associate with this religion. Or what are you? I'm Christian. I'm an evangelical. No, no, no. That you might say, I'm a born-again, blood-bought follower of Jesus Christ. And I eat Jesus for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I even throw in some snacks. That you're all about Jesus. And that every day is just an adventure with Jesus. Amen? Every day is just, I wake up, okay, Lord, me and you today, Lord. There's no turning back. I'm going to grow. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to learn from you. I might be chastised by you. But Lord, you go with me. Let's do it today, Lord. Together. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week. Amen. Let's not be like these religious leaders. They knew the scriptures. Herod said, well, where's Messiah going to be born? And I bet you they didn't even have to take out the scroll. They just said, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They knew it. They understood it. But it wasn't real. It was just words on a paper. There was no relationship. There was no encounter. And may the Holy Spirit free us from dead religion. May the Lord free us from routine. And may every day, my prayer is that you would just encounter Christ every day. Grow in your relationship with Christ. Pursue Christ. Honor Christ. Worship Christ every day. Amen. So much bigger than a church, than a pastor, than a religion. Man, it's all about Jesus. And may we never forget that. Amen. Amen. Let's finish up. I'm going to ask Jonah to come up. I want to end with a little worship. But before we end, let's just finish up the verses. In verses 9 through 12, this is what we continue to read to finish our account. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. Now, the whole wording makes us understand that when they went to Jerusalem, that the star disappeared somehow, some way, and then when they left Jerusalem, it reappeared, and it went before them to Bethlehem. And let's continue to read. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now Jesus was probably about one or two at this time. He was not a baby like you see in all those nativity scenes. But that's okay. They're still nice to decorate the house with. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And so Matthew ends the story of the wise men by telling us that after they departed from Jerusalem, after speaking to Herod, they traveled to Bethlehem. Now Bethlehem is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, so it's not that long of a journey. And the star which they had seen in the east, it reappeared and guided them to the young child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew tells us that when they found the young child, Jesus, that they went into the house where he was staying, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And they presented him with gifts, with gold, speaking of his kingship, his office of a king. They presented him with frankincense, speaking of his priestly office, that this child would be the great high priest of the people. And they presented him with myrrh, speaking of his office of a prophet, that he would speak and die on behalf of God and the people. These wise men came before the young child, and they didn't try to get something from him, but they simply wanted to give. They came to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in this morning, as we gather together, we don't really gather to get something from Christ, although we do by the grace of God, but primarily we gather to give something to Christ. We came to worship the King. And I can think of no better way to end Christmas than by worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In closing, I want to say this. I just want to end with this. What do we learn from the wise men? What do the wise men teach us? They teach us three things I see in the story. And I just want to end by saying this. First, they teach us that it is truly wise to seek after Christ. It's truly wise to be a seeker of Jesus. If you want to be wise, if you want to prosper, if you want to be blessed in this lifetime, seek after Christ. There's many things to seek after, but none of them or none of those things can compare to Jesus. You seek after Christ, and believe me, you're going to find him and you're not going to be disappointed. Now, the second thing the wise man teach us is that it's truly wise to obey Christ. It's truly wise to obey Christ. They saw the star, they heard the prophecy, and they obeyed. They responded. They did not ignore the word of God, but they applied and obeyed the word of God. And it's truly wise to obey Christ. The word of God is crystal clear. It's black and white. And what do you do with it? Amen? What do you do with the word? Do you reject it, ignore it, or do you obey it? And I would just encourage you, obey it. Be wise. Be wise and obey the scriptures. Now, the third thing we learn from these wise men is it's truly wise to worship Christ. They came from the east. They sacrificed much to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's wise to seek after Christ, to obey Christ, and to worship Christ. And after reading that, we can end by asking ourselves the question, am I living my life wisely, or am I living like a fool? This morning, are you living your life wisely? Are you seeking after Christ? Are you obeying Christ? Are you worshiping Christ? Or are you seeking after the things of this world? How do you spend your time? Do you redeem the time, or do you waste time? God has given us 24 hours in a day. That's a lot of hours, amen? How many of those hours do you use to seek after Christ? Are you obeying Christ? Are you living according to his word? According to his will? Are you worshiping Christ? Are you living your life as a living sacrifice? Are you living wisely, or are you living foolishly? This morning, if you're not living wisely, make the proper changes before it's too late. Learn from these wise men what it means to be truly wise. Because wise men are still seeking him today. Let's stand. Let's end by just singing a song to the Lord.